Here's the Free Thought Almanac for August 8th. I'm John Mill. It was on this date, August 8th, 1910, that Quam Singulari, a decree of the Sacred Congregation of the Sacraments, specified the age at which children are to be admitted to First Communion in the Roman Catholic Church. The Catholic Encyclopedia, the authority on the subject, says that conditions for First Communion include being at the age of discretion, defined as knowing right from wrong, and being capable of using reasoning powers. This last condition would seem to contradict the very idea of faith, but no matter. In order to partake of Christian communion, the child must also be able to distinguish the Eucharistic from the common bread, that is, to know that what looks like bread is not bread, but contains the real, living body and blood of Christ. Leaving aside this patently ludicrous statement, what do you suppose it means that this miraculous bread, that looks like ordinary bread, contains the body and blood of Christ? If you eat this bread, are you eating God? And why would you eat a god? In ancient superstition, if you eat the flesh of your enemy, you can magically acquire his courage, his strength, or even his magical powers. This eating the god, as the Aztecs of Mexico literally called it, was described by Sir James George Frazer in The Golden Bough. By eating the body of the god, he shares in the god's attributes and powers. When the Spaniards conquered the Aztecs, the perplexed missionaries, bent on converting the heathens, found that they were already performing a Eucharistic ritual. Images of Huitzilopochtli made of dough were blessed by the Aztec priests, the people tasted, the people fasted before the communion, and the priests' words were said to cause a transubstantiation, turning the consecrated host into the flesh of the god. Likewise for drinking the god's blood. The ritual cannibalism began with the real sacrifice of human captives of war, but evolved into a substitution of wine and bread, or grape juice and bread for the more timid churches, for the literal flesh and blood of the god. Similar communions were found in the cult of Dionysus, the cult of Mithra, and the cult of Isis and Osiris, all of which influenced the adoption of Christian communion. As historian and ex-priest Joseph McCabe writes, "It must not for a moment be supposed that modern educated Catholics do not literally believe this jumble of pagan superstitions and medieval verbosity. They do. The priest dons his mystic or Mithraic garments and carries his wafer to the altar. At the middle of the Mass, he consecrates the bread and wine. If he does not articulate each word of the Latin formula, if he does not say it right at the bread and wine, there will be no magic. He must, of course, swallow the large wafer without putting his teeth into the body of Christ. He must take the blood without spilling a drop, for in each visible crumb of bread or drop of wine, there is the whole Christ, Godhead and manhood." Communing with fellow Christians may encourage fellowship, but there is always a side dish of comical consequences. In his 1911 recollection of 14 years in the Jesuit priesthood, Count Paul von Hohnsbruck tells the story of an old woman who, after receiving the wafer in her mouth, contemplated that she was swallowing the genital organs of Christ himself. She spat the wafer into her prayer book, gave it to the priest, and he had to eat it. The very idea that symbolically eating a god can confer on the communicant some kind of benefit is magical thinking at its most primitive. When a child takes her first communion, the church says she has to open her mouth wide enough to swallow dusty superstition along with the dry wafer. This has been the Free Thought Almanac for August 8th. I'm John Mill.